welcome to the AOL podcast. Let's dive right into this week's message.
God, we love you. God, we thank you for your presence that is here tonight. God, your tangible presence. God, we feel you in the room. God, we honor you. God, pour your love out on us tonight. God, I just ask that you would just open our hearts to receive all, not part, but all that you have for us to receive this weekend. God, let us be sensitive to your voice. God, I just declare that people, these women, will even hear your whispers. God, open their ears to hear. God, right now, I declare rain in this land, right now in the name of Jesus. God, you are God and you're faithful and you're just. So God, I just declare mercy on this land. Mercy on this country, even though we've been so wicked. God, if your word says that if your people would pray. And so God, we're praying right now and we're declaring rain to come. Even if it's snow, we'll take snow, but we need more of it, God. We need more. God, I just ask that you would just be with the families that have been affected. God, we declare the peace of God over their life. God, we declare provision for them. God, I just declare that this is a pivotal moment in the panhandle where we turn our eyes to you and we trust in you that we're not going to be focused on the situation that's happening, but we're going to look to you, Lord, our provider, not the government. The government is not our provider, but you are our provider. And we declare your provision to the panhandle. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, turn to someone and give them a high five or a hug. Tell them that you're glad that they're here tonight. How fun is it to be together just with the girls? I heard a mama say, if there's free childcare, I'll be there. Come on, can I get a witness? Some free childcare. Some time with the girls is always so much fun. Well, I have been looking forward to this night for a long time, and I have been praying for each and every one of you guys because I want you guys to have a God encounter this weekend. I want you to feel loved in this room, and I hope each and every one of you felt loved and welcome as you came in. Oh, good. I'm so glad. And I've been praying for a long time who was going to be our speakers, and you're looking at one of them. And and then we have my mom, Pastor Luann, on the front row. All the way, yeah, stand up, wave at them. Isn't she beautiful? All the way from sunny Florida. I texted her this morning and I said, can you believe that it's snowing? And she said, yes, it's the Texas Panhandle. So, but as I was praying, I just kept on thinking and just believing God, like, what do the women of AOL need? Like, who can come and speak to them? And I just kept on praying, like, God, I would, like, think of a name, you know, just like a earthly thought of who would be good that I like. And I just was like, well, that's just calling somebody, you know, just checking off the name or fill in the platform. And I was like, God, but I want to hear from you who is supposed to be our speakers. And mom knows this because how many times do we discuss it? Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? And I called her and I said, I feel like God's telling me to do it, to speak two messages. And that's a huge stretch for me because I'm not Pastor Travis. He loves to be up here. He can have one-sided conversation all day long, you know? And that's basically what this is a one-sided conversation because you guys don't talk back to me unless I get an amen or something like that. And so he just, that's so easy for him. He could do it. He's asked me to preach on Sunday mornings, and I'm like, I can't do that twice. Like, I don't know how you do it two times. Like, I'm proud of you, but like, I'll do the second service or the first service, but I'm not doing both. And he's like, you got to do both. But anyways, it was a stretch for me. And I told my mom, I was like, I guess I'll do it. And I said, God, does anybody make deals with God? I said, God, if you give me two messages, then I'll do it. And so I had already had ideas of what I was going to speak tonight. And then he, that next day, I mean, it was so cool that he answered me so quickly because it doesn't usually happen that way. But of course, I'd been praying, hey, Tracy, I'm just like Travis, I guess, Pastor Travis. He always does that. He's like imparted things into me, so hopefully I can have a better one-sided conversation. But anyways, I said, God, if you give me a message, then I'll do two. And then instantly the next day, he gave me something. I came into staff meeting. I was like, okay, he gave me another message, so I'm going for two. Pastor Travis was my backup speaker. I'm like, I know this is a women's conference, but babe, I think that you have something for the women. You know, I was like trying to find an out. And so he's like, I'll preach to women. I'm like, I know you will, and we would love it, but he'll be here tomorrow. He's going to take up the offering for us. And Saturday morning, he's going to lead worship with Lucas and Yenli and the team. So he's still going to be here, but we came up with the theme for the conference as a staff, and I love it. Isn't it beautiful? Bloom. How many of you guys love flowers? Like planting a garden, that just brings you so much joy. I'm like kind of shocked that I thought it would be more than, I feel like that was a 50-50. I know that, where did Jennifer go? Yeah, okay. There you are. She kills stuff. She really does. So we buy her fake plants. Yeah, high five Jennifer later on because she's got a black thumb, not a green thumb. But I love flowers, and my mom has always had flowers at the house. I just remember my whole life, just beautiful flowers all over the yard, and I can't wait for every spring to go buy flowers. How many of you guys go, like, too early, and then you kind of regret it, and you're pulled? Yeah, every year, I'm like, oh, it's been really nice for, like, a couple of weeks. I can go ahead and go buy flowers. And so then I go get them, and then you have to bring them inside so that they don't freeze, because we live here, and it just happens. But I love flowers. And I was thinking, can you imagine life without flowers? Jennifer, can you imagine life without flowers? Even the people with the black thumb love them. But I was thinking, can you imagine going to a wedding without flowers? Like, has anybody been to a wedding without flowers? Jennifer, did you have flowers? Okay, thank you. Okay. I was kind of worried that at this point, you're going to be like, no, I didn't have them. Okay, good. What were they? What kind of flowers? Can you say? Roses and carnations. Okay, she had flowers. And so I was thinking, like, can you imagine going to a wedding without flowers? It'd be, like, really weird. So can you imagine going to a funeral? Because you celebrate life with those flowers and the plants, and then the stage is always so beautiful in a dark moment, right? And then there's that beautiful life of those, the great big, what are those things called? A spray. A great big spray, and I'm like, those are so beautiful. And it just brings life into a room. It brings life and color. Can you imagine decorating mom without plants? I mean, my house is full of, like, fake plants and fake grass and stuff that I buy at Hobby Lobby. And Travis is like, do you really need another plant? Yes, I do, because this corner over here is a little bit too drab, and I got to have something to, like, look good, right? And so I really love plants. I have, like, does anybody have indoor plants, like house plants? Okay, yeah, all of the flower people. But I have, like, this whole little corner area, and I try to get, like, the cool ones, you know, but I have a green thumb, and I'm, like, surprised. Has anybody heard of the Swiss cheese one? Yeah, Swiss cheese plant, something. That's, like, the fake name. You know, they have the real name that you can't say, and then they have the fake name that you can say. It's like a leaf, and it has, like, little holes all over it. So it looks like Swiss cheese. So I'm on my third Swiss cheese plant. I bought one with Julie and Cindy in Canton, and I killed it. And then I bought a pink princess. And those are, have y'all seen the pink princess? Y'all Google it later. It's like a green leaf, and it has, like, pink in it. They're really, really pretty. And apparently, they're really hard. So I killed that too, but I'm going to try again. But I really love plants, and they minister to me. They don't minister to Travis because he has to pay for them in the summertime, and he asked me how much did these cost, and so then I tell him what the front porch cost and not the back porch, because that's two different trips, so then hopefully he doesn't realize that that's two different transactions of me buying multiple plants. But man, they're expensive, aren't they? And then they die, and then you have to go buy them again, you know? So it's this whole thing. But I love spring, and I love flowers. And I know that flowers are important to God because he talks about it a lot in the Word, and blooming and the lilies and trees and all of the stuff. Like, I know it's important to God, so, like, it should be important to us too, right? And so I was thinking about bloom and plants, and their purpose is to bear fruit, right? Or to bloom, right? And so the definition of bloom is a flower that is especially one cultivated for its beauty. Can I steal a flower? Okay. No, I feel like that was a no. Did y'all feel like that was a no? She's like, there was a system here. Do you have a preference? Okay, I'm taking this one, the daisy. Daisy? Okay. All right. And I just feel like I need to have it up here for this. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I felt like grabbing it. So this, I'm guessing, I'm not a plant person. I mean, I'm a plant person, but I'm not a scientist. But, like, this was created, right, for the bloom. Like, whoever, like, probably genetically modified this plant to look this pretty, they probably put all kinds of, like, chemicals and, like, lights and all kinds of things to cultivate it so that it would have a bloom. Because if it didn't have a bloom, when they went and bought all the flowers, they wouldn't have bought the ones without the blooms, right? So blooms are important. And so I know that we are supposed to be like the bloom. We're supposed to be unique and beautiful, and we're supposed to be bringing a fragrance to the room wherever we go, right? We're supposed to be world changers. We're supposed to make an impact. But if this was just a stick and it goes somewhere, can you imagine a bride walking down the aisle with a bouquet of sticks? Like, how, what kind of impact would that make? Everybody wouldn't be talking about the bride and how beautiful she was. They'd be like, why was she walking around with a bunch of sticks? And she said, I went to United and they were sold out, so they sold me these sticks instead of flowers. That would never happen because blooms are so important and they have a fragrance and they have a presence about them. Like, this, all of the stuff makes a presence about it. It sets the environment. It sets a stage. And I believe that as Christians, we are supposed to be setting a stage and bringing a presence and making an impact and bringing what? Beauty to someone, right? And so in Psalms 1:1-3, it says, what delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in the steps within the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in a scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on its true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, rooted, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of his life. He is never dry, never fading, and ever blessed and ever prosperous. And I believe that that is what we are to do. We're supposed to bloom. All right, everybody say bloom. We're to bloom. So I believe that to bloom, I thought of a couple of things. And funnily, is that a word? No. I don't know. It would just worked out this way. But I thought of all these bees. And what are flowers like? They need bees so that they can pollinate and do all this. So this just worked out really cool. I saw that today. So first of all, you have to be passionate for him. The second one, and this, Miss English, don't get on to me, but I thought they all had to be bees before I realized that a B-E-E, but this is B-E, be standing firm. Can you say that? Okay, somebody said yes. Okay, I just thought it kind of sounded weird. Okay, and then the next one is be planted with deep roots. And if y'all didn't get those, we're going to go over them one by one, okay? So there's three B's, all right? And so our first B is to be passionate for him, all right? And I'm just learning from Pastor Travis. So I got four R's, all right? This is Wheel of Fortune, I guess. All right, so four R's. We're going to remember, we're going to read, we're going to remove, and we're going to rest. I love that y'all have y'all's notebooks. Y'all look so engaged. I love it. So we're in school. We got the B's and the four R's. All right, so the first one is remember. Remember what he has done for you. So when I was pregnant with Ketch, which he is a surprise, and if you know him at all, he really is a surprise, all right? He's so fun. I love him very much. He loves big, but he gets mad big, and he has a really big personality, and he has really big hair. And don't talk to him about his hair because he wants long hair, and you can just keep your comments to yourself. I don't know what it is. He just wants long hair. The other day, though, I'll just tell you this. We went and got his hair texturized, which I told her to texturize it and do this to the back. So he went with it. So he did get a haircut, y'all. All right. I don't know why I said all that. But anyways, when I had him, before I had Ketch, I didn't want to have any more kids because I had two miscarriages before I had Anson. And that was super traumatic. And if you've ever experienced that, it's hard. And so I thought, like, I never want to have any more kids because I don't want to go through all of that pain. And so I, when I was a surprise with Ketch, found out I was pregnant, I had to remind myself of God's faithfulness and that I was able to carry Anson full term. And I had to remember what God had done for me before so I could stand on that. Just like anytime financially struggling, having a hard time with finances, I have to believe that God has always provided for us and that he's always faithful. And even though it's rough right now, I believe that he's going to get us through this hard season because we're tithers and we're givers, and he's going to rebuke the devourer for our sake. And so I may not get to go get a Starbucks or something, but I know that he's going to provide because he's given me wisdom, but I remember what he's done for us. If I get sick or my kids get sick or get a bad report, I remember that he is faithful and that he's always taking care of us, that God is our healer, and that no matter what the doctors say and no matter what report they have given, he's faithful. And I have so many testimonies. One more, Addison was born with holes in her heart. And I remember getting that report and growing up in a home of faith. I remember, like, we got the report, but it was like, we're going to go on and we're going to stand firm and we're not going to waver and we're just going to believe God for it. And so it was like a no thought process. It's like, we're just going to believe God for these holes to heal up. And they did. But it was the way I was raised. And I'm thankful that I had a family that raised me in faith. And it was easy for me to just believe, to go, to stand in faith in that situation. But if you're a new believer, I declare that you can have a moment where you, if he does one little thing for you, I mean, have you ever prayed for a good parking spot because your feet hurt really bad and you're got to go shopping? I have believed God for a parking spot. And it may be the dumbest little thing for you to pray about, but it's like God cares for you. And like something opens up and you're like, thank you, Jesus. So maybe that's what you have to build your faith on is, I remember that one time that God gave me a parking spot when my feet hurt really bad and the mall was packed and I needed that moment. And then the next time you need to believe God for your healing, you go, if he gave me a parking spot, then why wouldn't he heal me? You just go faith to faith and you remember what he did for you. In Luke 12:22, it says, Jesus taught his disciples saying, listen to me, never let anxiety enter your heart. Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing, for your life is indefinitely more than just food you eat and clothing you wear. Take the carefree birds, for example. Do you ever see them worry? Neither they grow their own food nor put it in a storehouse for later. Yet God takes care of every one of them. feeding each of them out of abundance of his love and his goodness. Isn't life more precious to God than a bird? Be carefree of God. Be carefree in the care of God. Does worry add anything to your life? Can it add one more year to your day? If so, worry adds nothing but actually subtracts from your life. Why would you worry about God's care for you? Think about the lilies. We're talking about flowers here. They grow and become beautiful, not because they work hard or strive to clothe themselves. Yet even Solomon, wearing his kingly garments of splendor, could compare to the field of lilies. If God can clothe the fields and the meadows with grass and flowers, can't he clothe you as well? Oh, struggling one with so many doubts, I repeat, don't let worry enter your life. Live above anxious cares of your personal needs. People everywhere are worried about making a living, but your heavenly Father knows every need and will take care of you. As you passionately seek the kingdom above all else, he will supply your needs. So don't ever be afraid, dearest friend. Your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom with all of his promises. And what I see in that is like he takes care of the birds. And if that's what you have to remember, is like God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the lilies and he grows everything that's living on the earth. How much more are you to him than just a flower? How much more is your life than a flower? So if you don't have something to stand on in faith, just think of a flower. It's taken care of. God grew it and he provided for it. And he cares so much more for you. And I know that God is so faithful. In Psalms 77, it says, 77, 11 and 12. But then I recall all that you have done for me, O Lord, and I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts, and I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. The devil wants to take your thoughts and make you forget about what he did. Have you ever like been in a situation that was so tough that, and this has happened to me, and your mind has like literally shut off because you're thinking about something traumatic that's happened. And you're thinking like, God, what is one thing that you've done for me? Or you go down that path of like, God's never done anything for me. You know, in your head, the devil's lying to you, telling you like, what has he ever done for you? And then you can't think of it because your mind is so sidetracked on the negative that's going in. Gosh, I hate those negative thoughts. They can consume you. And so the scripture says that your wonderful deeds and the things that you have done are always in my thoughts. So to me, that tells me that every single day when we're praying is you just start saying all those things that he did, where it becomes repetitive, like, thank you, God, that you healed Addison's heart. God, I thank you that you gave me kids. God, I thank you for the job that I have. Maybe you don't think you have a lot to be thankful for, but there's a lot of people out there looking for a job. You can say, thank you for the job. Thank you for the car that runs. It may not be my dream car, but it gets me to work every single day. There's gas in my tank to get me there. Gosh, I open up my refrigerator, Lord, and there is food in there. And there's enough food for me to eat for weeks. God, you just go through the list of the things that he's done for you, every little thing. And if you keep on reminding yourself of the things that he's done for you, then I believe that you are going to become passionate for him because you're going to see all of the provision in your life, every little thing that he has done for you, and you're going to stand firm knowing that he is doing things and that he's going to keep on doing things. And when you are celebrating somebody that you love, you know what's going to happen? You're going to love them even more. Because I'm telling you, when I'm married, sometimes like you can get so nitpicky on your husband and get so mad. But if you flip it to the other side and think about all of the positive things that are going on in your marriage and all the great things that your husband does for you, then you know what happens? I become even more passionate about him. I'm like, come here, baby, give me some of that love. But if I'm mad and I think of all the negative things, then I'm not passionate about him. So that's just like our relationship with God is like, we've got to think about all of the good things that he does in our life, and it is gonna make you just draw closer to him. I wanna be closer to him. I wanna spend more time with him. I wanna pray and I want to spend time with him because I'm so thankful for of all the things that he's done in my life. And you get passionate about God real fast when you remember what he's done for you. Number two in the R's, all right, is to read. Read the word and seek new revelation. You know, it's so important for us to seek new revelation. I didn't start really consistently reading the Bible until 2012. And I just kind of would read every once in a while. I would especially read when I was having a bad day, you know. But, you know, all those other good days that I was having, I was like, you know, I don't need to read the word. I got other things to do. And I would just get caught up in, you know, just living the good life, not reading the word. And Travis and I were actually youth pastors at the time, and he was the same way. We were just kind of like, we would read if we were at church or if he had to get a message ready or we were going to youth camp. I thought, well, I better know some scriptures before I hang out with teenagers in case they're going through something. So, you know, I just tried to memorize some of the ones that teenagers might need to deal with, like don't fornicate and stuff. You know, that's in the Bible, guys. So, right? So I would try to memorize those scriptures so that I could try to help them out. But they usually ask me questions that I wasn't prepared for. Anyways, so we decided, it was one of my friends, she's a pastor, and she's like, man, you got to get this, read the Bible every single day. Have y'all seen those? It's a reading plan. And so in 2012, I started doing that. And I hope that my mom can testify for this. Do you believe that I started blooming after 2012? Did you see growth, change, hopefully some maturity, some fruits in my life? Okay, good. She says yes. She said a real loud amen that she really saw a change in me. I was a wild child before that. And then started reading the word, and it started changing my life. And it's so important, too, is that as you start reading the word, you ask for new revelation because God's going to give you a scripture that you read one day, and you're like, man, that was so good. And then you're so excited about that word. And I'm telling you guys, that's why you read the word, because he's going to show you something every single day. He's so faithful to do that. And then you might not see something the next day that you just really love. Like maybe you're reading Leviticus or Exodus, you know, some of those that are hard to read, but we really need them. But then he'll give you something else, and he's just like, it brings excitement to you. And I'd always feel like, I need a t-shirt that said, like, I heard from God today, you know? So you could, like, broadly wear that, and you could only wear it. This was an idea that I had before I started making t-shirts for the church, because I was so excited. I was like, hey, if we had a shirt that said, I heard from God today, you could only wear it on the day that you heard from God, or it was like a sin. And then you could wear that, and then people would be like, what'd you hear from God? And then you could tell them, like, this was what God told me in the word, and it was, like, really exciting. But my parents were the pastors, and they didn't like the idea, so we don't have the shirt. Just kidding. Maybe I didn't propose it. I don't know. She's laughing. I don't know. So anyways, maybe we should have a t-shirt that says that. I don't know. Pastor Travis got charged hell with a squirt gun. Why can't I get, I heard from God today? I don't know. Thank you. All right. So in Psalms 148:8, was it 148? 143. It says, let the dawning day bring me revelation of your tender, unloving, unfailing love. Yes, that's, we can't get that messed up. Of your unfailing love. Give me light for my path and teach me. For I trust in you. Save me from all my enemies, for I hide myself in you. I just want to obey all that you ask of me. So teach me, Lord, for you are my God. Your gracious spirit is all I need. So lead me on good paths that are pleasing to you, my one and only God. You know, that last part is my one and only God. And I think about that. How many other gods do we have in our life? And so there's 24 hours in the day. We're up probably more than 12 hours, but how many of you guys lay in bed for a long time? I don't know. My life shuts down at 9 o'clock. I turned 40 this year, so we're in bed at 9. I don't know. Mom's looking at me. She stays up late. Don't y'all? Y'all stay up pretty late. We like, Travis is, he's always gone to bed really early, so I used to just stay up all by myself, and then I thought, well, if he's sleeping, I might as well sleep too. And so, but anyways, we have a lot of time in the day, and a lot of time we neglect God, you know? And so it's hard to get revelation from God unless we spend time with him. So people that are asking, like, man, I need to hear from God. I'm going through a hard place in my life, and they're missing out because they're not spending time with him. And I'm telling you, if you do 15 minutes a day, you totally can do it. They sell a little packet at Mardell's, and it's read through the Bible in a year, and it gives you Old and New Testament, and so you can keep your original Bible and do that every single day. And it says on the front 15 minutes, but sometimes it takes longer. I don't know why. Because I time it. And I just look and see, like, how long does it take? Because I have my morning planned out. So Pastor Travis and I go to the gym in the morning, and then I make him cook me breakfast because I'm spoiled like that. I cook him dinner sometimes. Well, okay, most of the time. And then we're into cold plunging. I don't know if you've heard of that. So then we cold plunge. And all of these, like, little things take me 15 minutes to do all of that. And so I know exactly what I need to do, but I'm telling you that if one of my 15 minutes gets off, it messes up the whole system, okay? But I can't let it mess up the system that I have for my time with him. It's like, because I get, like, really addictive personality, and I'm like, I got a cold plunge every single day. Like, I went to Florida, and I was like, I need ice. I need to get in a cold ice bathtub, and my mom thought I was crazy, and Florida water is a lot hotter, and it just didn't work out. And I was like, man, I had like 60 days in a row strong. I was like really proud of that. But we get into those little things like that, and then we realize, like, did I do 60 days strong in the Bible? You know, it's so important. Another funny story about cold plunging, just like really random. But when I cold plunge, I pray. And so I like get in there, I start praying. And the other day, it takes your breath away, and you kind of like have to like breathe and talk yourself in it. And you stand in my garage naked, and I tell myself, this is dumb. I promise you, every morning, I'm like, this is stupid. Like, why do I do this? I don't know. I promise you, if you do it, it's like fun afterwards because you're like, hey, I did something really cool. But going into it, I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? And then I get in, and so anyways, I get in, and it takes your breath away because you're in water that's like between 45 and 50 degrees, and so it's pretty cold. And so I get in, and so I'm like starting to pray, and I said, dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. Let it nourish our bodies. And I just was like, what am I doing? My brain just like didn't work in the moment. I thought it was really funny because that's not what I pray when I'm in the cold plunge. So anyways, so make sure that you spend time in the Word and cold plunge and pray. So challenging you to do that. So spending time with him sets your day up for success. And so I promise you guys, my days are a lot better when I spend time with him. Not when I cold plunge. Doesn't make a difference. It does nothing for me spiritually. But when I spend time with him every single day, it sets my day up for success. Because you know what? The devil is waiting for you to walk out the door and to take you out and to frustrate you and have you yell at your kids, to scream at your husband, just to be frustrated. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have frustrating days when you spend time with him. But when you hit that level of frustration and you've spent time with him, you can just get in your car and say, remember what you read this morning? I am the righteousness of God, and I'm not acting like it. So get yourself together, woman, and act righteous, because the world out there is crazy, and you don't want to look like the world. You want to look set apart, and I don't want to look like the world. I'm just saying, I don't want people to think that I'm not somebody special, because I am special, because God chose me, and I'm a chosen people. And if I am not acting righteous, then I'm looking like the world. So I want to look like Jesus. And if I don't spend time with him, it's going to be really hard for me to look like Jesus, because you don't know how he acts, so you got to spend time with him. It will change your life, I promise you. So he's going to give you faith to go through every situation, I promise you, as you read the word. Number three R is remove distractions. So as I was preparing this message, are there any like clean freaks out there? Anybody that likes to clean? I like to clean, yeah. My in-laws are coming into town on Sunday. And I just had this like wild thought, I should clean out the refrigerator. Yeah, I don't know, I was like needing to study. And it was like all that I could do. I just kept on thinking like, I could go through the refrigerator and then I like start planning the clean in my head. Yeah, you're like, I could take the like, I need to change my shirt so I can use the bleach spray, okay? And then I can like wash all the little trays and little stuff in there. And then I can go through all the food and see what needs to be thrown away. I can do all this stuff. And I'm like, the Lord's like, you need to study. And I'm like, I know, but like my in-laws are coming in. She's gonna open my refrigerator. I mean, what's gonna happen when she opens the refrigerator? I mean, so I'm also a psycho cleaner too. Like I'll be studying, I'll like look over. And there's like grass from my dog on the floor. I gotta go vacuum. So I get super distracted easily. Mine's a cleaning distraction. But also, our phones are distracting, right? You know, you're trying to spend time with him, and your phone dings, and you're like, oh, I wonder who emailed me. Oh, okay, there's a sale at Macy's. There's always a sale at Macy's, guys. I know, because I'm on the email list, but there's always a sale. There's always something. Also, TV. I just feel like we're in a world of distraction. Also, if your kids play sports, I mean, there's just like so many things that are pulling us in so many different directions, and it makes it really hard for us to be able to bloom and show people that we're passionate for him when it looks like we're passionate for other things that are pulling our way. Does it really matter to watch reels? I mean, how many of you guys get lost in reels? I mean, come on. It's you can like get on there and you feel like you've only been on there 10 seconds and you're just reeling away and it's just distraction. And so in Proverbs 4, 25 through 27, it says, set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose. That's really the key. We have to be so fixed on what we're trying to do. What is our goal? Is to win the lost, to make a difference, to show people Jesus? So we got to have a fixed purpose, looking straight ahead, ignoring life's distractions. Watch where you're going. Stick to the path of truth, and the road will be safe and smooth before you. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked, even for a moment, or take a detour that leads to darkness. Gosh, this is heavy. And I think about this in the biblical days. Like, what do you think distracted them? I mean, like, hey, I got to go out to the field and, you know, make a harvest. I don't know. Like, I always think, like, gosh, wouldn't it be easy to serve God then? Like, there wasn't a lot of stuff. Like, they didn't have movies. They didn't have Netflix. You couldn't binge a series. There's, like, you would just basically, I guess, I don't know, like, eat and work. Then, I guess, chill. I don't know. Do you think their distraction was, like, hanging out with each other? I don't know. But I always think it'd be so much easier. But they knew, whenever they wrote this, that we were going to be sidetracked and that we don't even have a moment that we need to be sidetracked. We have to be so purely focused on what we're trying to do, right? What we're trying to do for God, that we're trying to be passionate for him. And if we stay on that path of like, I'm passionate with God and whatever I do, whatever path I take, if it's not passion for him, I don't want it. Can you imagine the world if we could actually have that discipline to do that? And so I think about this as a simple test of distraction. Is this decision going to make me closer to him or further away? And I believe that today's world, like we have thousands of decisions that we're making all the time. All the time we're making lots of decisions of like, should I open my phone here? Should I watch this? Should I do this? And if we just had that steadfast moment, like if I do this, is it going to make me closer to him? Or is it going to make me further away? So write that down. If the answer is no, then I need to know that this needs to be removed. I don't have time for it. I've got to remove that distraction. And sometimes that's people in your life, you know? There's going to be people that are pulling you away from the direction that you're supposed to be going in life. And I can give an example of that. I had a friend that I was really close to, and she was a little bit wild, and I can be a little bit wild too, and think some stuff is funny that's not funny, but in order to fulfill the calling that I had, that person couldn't be in my life anymore. And, you know, it's one of those decisions that you just have to make sometime. Okay, number four R is rest in your confidence in him. And this is the last one. Consistency creates confidence. If we're consistent in him, we're going to be confident in him. And when you're confident in something, you can do things at ease. Try to think about doing something for the first time, right? Like riding a bike. You know, like you were so nervous to get on there and like, if you're like me, you think the worst is going to happen. Like, I'm going to fall over, I'm going to bust my knee open, never going to be able to walk again, you know? But once you get onto that bike and you start pedaling, the next time you get a little bit nervous, but you tell yourself, hey, I did it last time and I didn't fall off, right? And then now, how many of you guys would get on a bike right now, even though you haven't ridden one in a long time, and just feel like, I can do this. I did it when I was little, done it before. So whenever you're consistent in something, you get confident in him. And I know that when you're consistent, you're going to bloom because you're going to fully trust in him and sit back knowing that God's promises are yes and amen. And you're going to just be confident in that. You're going to be able to sit back and say, you know what? I trust in God because I trust in God last time and he's always been faithful. He's always done it. And so now I can rest in him confidently knowing that he's going to take care of me because he's my daddy God and he wants the best for me and he's going to handle this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Psalm 16, 7 through 11. And you guys should go highlight this all in your Bible because it's my favorite in the whole thing. But I'm just going to read part of it. It says, the way you counsel me makes me praise you more. For your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next. Because I set you, Yahweh, always close to me, my confidence will never weaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and my soul will explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure. For you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your faithful one to experience corruption. Because of you, I know the path of life, and I taste the fullness of your joy in your presence. At your right side, I experience divine pleasures forevermore. How many of you guys want to rest in that confidence, just knowing that he's there and he's faithful and he's got you? I love the word wraparound presence, and that's only found in the Passion Translation, which I love that because I think about those great big balls that you can get into, like at a theme park. I haven't seen them here, but I've seen them on like reels when I was wasting my time, you know? Those people get in them, and then they like roll around in them and do all kinds of like fun stuff. But I think of his wraparound presence like that. It's like you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And you're inside this and it's his presence is around you. And when things come and hit you, like nobody gets hurt inside those balls. Like things hit them, there's impact and then like flings them another way. But nobody ever walks away with like broken bones or dies in those. At least I haven't seen the reel if somebody did, but I'm saying, like, I think of his wraparound presence like that. Like, he's around me. He's with me. I may hit some troubles, but I'm confident that I'm not going to be hurt because I'm in his wraparound presence, and I'm going to be good. He's got me. I love that. So that first one was be passionate for him, and you know what? Our lives will bloom. And then our next one, that was the longest one, I promise, guys. We're going to speed it up now, okay? All right, so the next one is be standing firm. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, for he who promised is faithful. And I bet you put the Passion up there, but I don't know that one by heart in the Passion. But we're not going to waver. We're going to stand firm. And I think about, you know, when you're standing firm and somebody tries to hit you, you've got your feet planted and you're like ready for that impact and you're going to stand firm and you're not going to waver. And I think about this flower. You know, we live in this Texas panhandle and there's like crazy wind. Like the wind will try to destroy a bloom and they will break it off in this crazy weather. But I believe that we're a bloom that can stand firm in his promises, trusting in him and knowing that he's faithful. And so that whenever the wind comes, we're going to be strong in the Lord and we're not going to waver our faith, and we're going to stand and we're not going to waver, and we're going to stand and we're not going to waver, because having done all to stand, we're going to stand firm. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58, it says, "But we thank God for giving us victory as we conquer through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we will prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord." Not serving the world, it says serving the Lord. "Because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures." That means that no matter what, our fruit is going to endure in every season of our life. No matter what, we're going to stay planted. We're going to stay strong. And just no matter what, just stand firm. All right? So stand firm. The next one is be planted with deep roots. And this is the last one. So I think it was 2021 when a drunk driver hit our house, right? Was it 2021? 22. Okay, wow. You know my life really well. All right. And gosh, that was crazy in itself, but we were asleep and I heard the car go and then crash into our house. And we had, Addison was about to turn 16. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I was not trusting you there for a minute. But anyways, Noelle had gone off into the Marine Corps, and she was going to drive his car. And so it was like parked right in front of the house. And that drunk driver hit that car, and that car went into my living room. And I mean, if the car wasn't parked where it was, which was crazy in itself because she normally had parked up further, but she, for some reason, she parked it right there, that car would have gone completely into our living room. And I had 3 rose bushes planted like right in front of the windows. And so after the drunk driver hit our house, God rebuked the devourer for our sakes, by the way, because they paid for everything. Addison got a new car that's better than the car that she had. And everything was just taken care of. And the next morning, they had somebody out like coming to like patch up our windows and all of this. And just really God provided for us through a hard time. And then we were able to pray for that girl. And I mean, it was just a whole thing. But I had 3 rose bushes planted up there. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to change the look of the front, do something different, because there's no sprinklers there. And so it was like hard to have water at those rose bushes. And so I thought, okay, well, babe, let's pull this rose bush up and we're going to transplant it to the side yard. And he's like, "Can you do that?" I'm like, "Yeah, you can do that. Just like make sure we like cut it really down deep and we're going to transplant it. You know, the woman talker is going to pick it up and move it over there. And I'm going to watch you over here while you transplant the rose bush." And, you know, rose bushes are just lovely, right? Can you imagine him, like, trying to, like, cut it without getting, you know, all the thorns and all that stuff? And I'm like, "You can do it." And he's like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yes, you can transplant it. We're just going to transplant it over there." So, anyways, we tried to transplant it, and it didn't work out. Because I guess we didn't get the roots good or something happened. I promise you I could grow stuff, but I cannot transplant, all right? And I think about this because we need to be planted with deep roots, right? Because we want to bloom. And so it's so important for us to be planted in the house of God, right? So important that we don't try to, like, come over here and this is my Wednesday night church and then this is my Sunday morning church. Because I think about that rose bush and how it thought it was going to live for a little bit, and we would, like, go over there and I'm like, "Just pull back that little branch and you just like fold it in half. My dad taught me this. If there's green on the middle, then it's still alive, you know? But I'll let you guys know, it took it a long time to actually die. We like try to water it and, you know, baby it. And then I was like, give it fertilizer. And I'm like, I don't know, pour some coffee on it, something. Because sometimes you can do that. And I kept on like pulling it. And I was like, it's going to make it, babe. Like, I promise, trust the process. And so how many of you guys, you know, think like, oh, well, I got my feelings hurt over here. Let's go over here. And you think that you're okay. And you think that you're okay with all these little transplants that are happening. But in all reality, you might be like the rose bush that I had that just, it was too much to transplant it and move it because it needed to be where all of its root system was. And it needed to have those, all of the nutrients and all the stuff that was underneath that one. So it's so important for us to be planted with deep roots. And so I pray this over my kids all the time. Is Psalm 69:9. It says, passion for your house will consume me. I just think about like when you have passion for the house of God, it's so consuming that you love the house. Like you can't wait to get to the house. You can't wait to be in his presence. And it's so important for us to have passion for the house of God. And this place, I mean, this may not be your church home. I hope you have another church home. But I hope that your plan is somewhere so that you have passion for that house and that you grow because and you flourish because you are planted in the house. I hope that you're serving on a team because it's so important. If this is your house, serving on a team is like taking care of it, right? It's like saying, I love this house and I'm going to serve and I'm going to take care of this house. Because wouldn't it be weird if at my house I was like, you know what? I'm not going to clean or cook. I'm just going to come in here and hang out and do nothing, right? That's not what God's called us to do. In Psalms 122:1, it says, I was overjoyed when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Joy comes from being in the house of God. And I think that it's so important for us. Remember, consistency creates confidence. You want to be confident in him. You want to bloom where you are planted, right? There's like shirts that say that. It's like you're going to have joy when you come to the house of God. And I believe that you need to be there every Sunday morning when the doors open up because you're going to have joy when you get in the house. I love this scripture in Psalms 92:12-15. It says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees. Because I love me some palm trees, and they will grow strong like cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the house's Lord, the Lord's own house. They will flourish in the courts of God. Even in old age, they will produce fruit, and they will remain vital and green. And so I know that if you want to bloom, you're going to have to be planted somewhere with deep roots, and you got to be consistent in going there. Because if you want to make an impact in the world, you're going to have to, and you want to make that sweet fragrance, you want to make a difference, you want to change the environment, you got to be planted because you got to have some roots somewhere so that then you can tell them, hey, I know that you don't know Jesus, but I want to invite you to my church. And it needs to be a church that is your church, not like, oh, well, if you catch me on the third week, I'm at this church, and then on the second and fourth, I go to this church. You got to be planted somewhere so that somebody that you invite is going to show up, and you're there, right? I love this. So how we're going to bloom is we're going to be passionate for him, we're going to be standing firm, and we're going to be planted with deep roots. The scripture for our conference is Psalms 85:11-13. And it says, flowers of your faithfulness are blooming on the earth. Righteousness shines down from the sky. Yes, the Lord keeps raining down blessing after blessing, and prosperity will drench the land with a bountiful harvest. For deliverance goes before him, preparing a path for his steps. And so today I declare this over your life, blessing over blessing is going to come. I declare that you're going to bloom forth in your life as you seek him, standing firm in deep roots. Amen. All right, you guys stand up. I'm going to pray for you. How many of you guys believe that this word was for you? All right, I want to bloom. I want to make a difference. I want people to come up to me and say, what is it about you that's different? I know that you're not like everybody else. right? I want to make an impact no matter where I go, in Walmart, at the restaurants that we go to. I want people to see Jesus on the inside of me because I want to bloom and be a light. And I want to be that colorful bouquet that just brings joy. Like when flowers come into the church, everybody just looks, oh, that's so beautiful. I want people to see that when I walk in somewhere. Look at her. She's so beautiful. There's something special about her. It's Jesus on the inside of us. So I'm going to pray for you guys. God, we love you and we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for your word that you gave to us tonight. God, I just ask that you would just reveal things to us, not just today, not just tomorrow, not just Saturday morning, but in the weeks to come, God, that we would grow closer to you, Jesus. God, that we would become more like you every single day. God, I declare that we are going to be a light in the dark world, that we're going to be that blooming flower that radiates rooms, that brings beauty into darkness. That when we go into these dark places where people are hurting, but they see us and they see that bloom and that smell of joy on our life, God, that they are going to reach out to us and that we're going to make an impact in the world. So God, I just ask that you would remind us of all the things that we need to do, that we need to be passionate for you, that we need to spend time with you in the word. God, that we need to be rooted deep in a church. God, I just ask that you just minister to us tonight. God, I thank you and praise you for your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on our podcast today. We pray that you heard from God and that this message was for you. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people with this message. Arena of Life takes pride in connecting to God, to church, and to people. And we want to connect with you. So don't forget to check us out on all social media platforms, to check out our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and to download the Church Center app and to choose Arena of Life as your church. And a special thanks to those who make a difference by giving generously. You help us change lives and produce weekly content like this that reaches the world. If you're interested in partnering with us, you can give by clicking the link in our bio, through the website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or through the Church Center app. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you next week.